some of the larger communities, they are doing exactly what Craig referenced. We used to plan for growth in our ETJ because we knew that over time there was raw land in the ETJ that we will be annexing at some point in time, and we are going to plan for that by addressing growth in the ETJ through our comprehensive plan with oversizing of water and wastewater lines, making sure we have connector streets, thoroughfares that are purposely designed to accomplish that goal. And now they are literally pulling that back. I was in a council meeting last month where I had a client say, why should we spend the money on this knowing that we're not going to have any control over that growth? And they are pulling it back. And the other point is that he made with respect, will the legislature ask the cities to fix this in the future once they find out how messed up it is in 15, 20, 25, 30 years? Absolutely they will. And I would never have said this 10 years ago, but it wouldn't surprise me if in 30 years, if the current climate continues forward, we have a bill that goes the opposite direction. It mandates that cities annex that property, make them part of your city limits, and provide services. That we were willing to provide in the annexation of raw land previously. Now, the final point I want to make before we go ahead and move forward is that I'm seeing now more folks, developers, come to me and say, we would like to do a PID, we would like to do a TERS, we would like to do a 212-172 agreement, more often than it had happened in the past, especially the TERS and the PID part, in an attempt to convince the city to annex now, because a lot of my cities, they're almost to the point where we're not planning for that growth anymore. So anyway.
I was actually in the bar last night doing some of my best work, and an engineer sitting next to me, consulting engineer that was at the conference, maybe out there, sorry about what I said last night, but anyway. He actually said he's got some client cities that are talking about giving up on their CCNs and releasing it and saying, good luck finding utility water out there. You know, you could drill your own wells. And almost every city I talk to has said, we're no longer selling water to developments outside the city. You get water, you sign some kind of an agreement agreeing to be annexed. Now, it may be deferred, and we'll talk about that in a minute, but you give us a voluntary agreement that someday you will come into the city. So,
yeah, and my concern with that is we're going to have a... Is Zachariah still here? No? That traitor? We're just going to see... And I was talking to someone earlier. We're going to see more MUDs, Water Control Improvement Districts, things of that nature that take on debt, and we don't have any control of the development. I have a client who captured as much of the CCN as they could, both water and wastewater, in their ETJ. I've warned them that if you're going to, that's good and well, capture that CCN so you can at least have some control, even though you no longer have authority to annex, but at least you have some control. But if someone comes to you and demands service, you better be prepared to give them service or lose that CCN. And then the PID and the MUDs come in anyway.
That's a really good point, and that's something we're seeing more with our developer clients, is that they're falling into these gaps of CCNs where there's no service provider and they're having to pay for the extension, and you have a city that's unwilling, for example, to do a voluntary annexation or extend their CCN. So that's a real challenge for the development community.
Oh, so our names. There you go.
They're going to fire me. I'm not doing a good job.
Charlie. I'll be Rob.
Here, let me be Rob.
All right, you can be Rob.
That's it.
Yeah, the issue of the CCN, some cities, it depends. Some cities, your CCN says you're only going to serve areas that are inside your city limits. I know Fort Worth said we're serving the CCN, and they're having some issues of how to deal with exactly what you're talking about. They may be obligated to serve that area, even though they're not annexing it. So there's some legal issues there.
You ready?
Okay, let's go to the next one. We'll talk real quickly about the legislation, House Bill 347. Phil King, who happens to be my representative, it actually got passed in the House on the 9th of April, and it was sent to Senate State Affairs. I guess it's still pending there.
Yeah, it's still pending there as of yesterday.
I made notes. That's right. Yeah, it's still pending there. That's the one that would basically eliminate the distinction between Tier 1 and Tier 2. All cities would be Tier 2, no matter what. And And that, the companion bill on that was the Senate Bill 745 by Birdwell, and I think that's just sitting in the Senate committee because I think they're waiting for the House bill to get there. Or it is there, come to think of it. 1038 Burns annexation. A city must suspend any pending annexation if it receives notice from the county clerk of a verified petition. You know, if a petition comes into the county clerk, it could be suspended until what, the next November election date.
They got the I guess apparently the legislature got smart. No, that's not possible. Is that possible? No, I don't know if that's possible or not. They tried to stop things like what my client did, which was beat the clock on a non-voluntary annexation before the before Senate Bill 6 went into effect.
And that would be a case in any Tier 1 county that's thinking about going Tier 2. It'd be the exact same situation until that November election. It's not a Tier 2 county. So this is basically saying you've got to stop the annexation until there's a vote, and then it may be subject to Tier 2 rules. Mm-hmm. Came out of Land and Resource with no amendments. I thought it got... it's going to the Senate. It passed on Wednesday, okay. So it's going to the Senate, and I guess it'll be intergovernmental affairs, I guess.